Hello and welcome to the ACNC's podcast, Charity Chat. In this episode, we're going to be talking about fundraising and in particular, working with fundraising agencies. And joining me to talk about this topic is the Assistant Commissioner of the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, David Locke. Welcome to your first appearance on the podcast.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
Charities' use of external fundraising agencies, which are often for-profit businesses, to conduct fundraising on their behalf is a contentious issue. First, though, is it okay for charities to spend money on fundraising activities?
Well, yes, Matt, it is. It's legitimate for a charity to spend money to raise money, and very often it's essential to do so. Charities have to use their funds in a way that best furthers their purpose.
Yep.
And it's really a decision for the boards, ultimately, of charities to make, but also staff, of course, and volunteers, as to how to best do that. But fundraising activities spending money on fundraising may well be the best way to actually raise funds and to be able to deliver on the objects for which the charity was established. I mean, it's important to remember that charities can't do everything, including fundraising, for free. Most things cost money. Even if you are sending out in the post to supporters a request for donations, then there's going to be postage, there's going to be stamps, there may well be staff time in doing that.
Yep.
If you're doing fundraising over the telephone or you're asking people face to face, then all of that really will involve some cost.
And how about the use of external fundraising agencies? In particular, for-profit commercial enterprises. Is it fair for charities to use these sorts of businesses to conduct fundraising on their behalf?
Well, yes, and often, Matt, that may be the most effective way to do
right.
So. So you need to be able to demonstrate that you've made a proper decision, that you've used the charity's funds in a way that supports the purposes and that you've acted with due care and diligence. But sometimes using a professional fundraiser or professional fundraising agencies may be the most appropriate way to go. Now, clearly for many small organisations, they would not be able to afford that, and that may not be the best way for them to operate. But for some, it'll give them the expertise that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are looking to employ a staff member to undertake fundraising, then there's going to be a cost with that as well. So it's really about what's appropriate for an individual charity. But certainly using external agencies, even for-profit providers, is not a problem as long as that's being properly thought about and is in furtherance of the purposes.
Would you say then that use of fundraising agencies is probably more likely amongst the medium or larger sized charities, the ones that have a little bit more money set aside for fundraising activity?
It really does depend, Matt,
okay.
on what you're doing. So you may, for example, be trying to do an appeal in order to raise some funds to purchase or to develop a property.
Yep.
So there may be that sort of appeal. And actually, there's particular skills in terms of doing that. But clearly, if what you're doing is just local fundraising from the community, then it may be that you're able to do that using your own staff and expertise. It really does depend.
Depends on what you're after.
What you're trying to do.
Like
many things, yeah.
And when fundraising is being conducted by a third-party commercial agency, where do the responsibilities lie? We know that if a charity is doing it internally and they've got their own staff out on the street, that it's pretty clear lineage to the ultimate responsibility of a charity's board. But how about when you engage a third-party fundraiser?
Well, fundraising is just another element of a charity's operations. And so the responsibility for that ultimately rests with the charity's board.
Right.
And if you have a large, complex organisation, then clearly many of those responsibilities will be delegated. Day-to-day responsibility will be delegated to staff. But ultimately, the responsibility for setting policy and setting the direction and for the overall management of an organisation sits with the board. And yes, you can outsource work, such as fundraising, to commercial agencies, but you can't really outsource your responsibilities that come with that.
Right, okay.
At the end of the day, the public will very often see the charity name or the charity brand, and in their eyes, that is you, even if that is being done by a third-party provider. So if you employ a fundraising agency and they are cutting corners, or some of the tactics that they're using are not consistent with the values of the organisation, or maybe ethically questionable, then that's the charity's name. It's the charity's brand that's being damaged. And the charity has made the decision to pay the agency for their services and bear the responsibility for that.
Right. And in many cases, their name is right there on the badge or on the T-shirt of the person out in the street asking for donations as well. So it's an explicit representation of the charity's reputation.
It is. And for example, if you are doing face-to-face fundraising out in the street, as you raise, Matt, well, some charities do that in-house. They do employ staff and have their own people who do that. But many find that that isn't a very cost-effective way or successful way of doing this. So many will actually outsource to fundraising agencies face-to-face fundraising, sort of street collections or door-knocking appeals. Also, there are many companies that specialise in direct marketing and telephone fundraising that are experts. So you may be contacted by somebody who's a volunteer or an employer of a charity, but it may well not be. It may well be an agency. But as a member of the public, if I'm approached, how do I know?
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
So in my mind, it will be the charity. So there's nothing wrong with contracting out work in this way, if that's the best way to do it. I mean, it's really what's in the best interest of the charity. But it is about ensuring that the practice is good, and it meets reasonable community expectations.
I think that's a good point. The reasonable community expectations is where we enter the contentious part of this issue. And that's when commercial fundraisers or third-party agencies employed by a charity to do some fundraising engages in some questionable tactics. We've seen it played out in the media a little bit. What would you say about the instances where commercial fundraisers have used questionable tactics in soliciting donations from the public?
Well, what I'd say is that we expect all fundraising activity to be fair, open and honest, and in no way to be exploitative. And that's important regardless of whether it's being undertaken directly by a charity or by a commercial fundraising agency as well. It goes against the principles that underpin the concept of charity and individual organisations if people are being badgered, harassed or intimidated into donating. So it's really important, I think, that what we ensure is that charities make a respectful ask for money. It's really important that charities do ask for money, otherwise most of the donations wouldn't be received.
Right, yep.
But it's important that that's respectful. So fundraising practices need to reflect that. And ultimately, the responsible persons of the charity, who are the board members, need to be aware of any issues with fundraising practice. They need to apply proper due diligence when considering third-party providers and ensure that they manage those agencies well. There are many good fundraising agencies out there, and there are a few that are much more problematic. And it's important that charities understand that the responsibility is on them, that they cannot contract out their brand and their reputation. And for most charities, the most valuable asset you actually have is your brand.
Right.
So
right.
Ensuring that anybody who is going out in the name of your organisation or approaching the public is doing so in a way that's consistent with your values and is a way that is respectful and appropriate.
You mentioned that it is okay for charities to spend some money to raise money, and that includes engaging these third-party fundraising agencies, even if they are commercial enterprises. For the charities that do this or are considering doing this, what should they think about before entering into a contract? What are some of the practical steps that a charity's board or that their responsible persons should consider before they enter into an agreement with such an agency?
Well, they need to have an understanding of the fundraising agency's operations, the service that it provides, including its values, and how those values align to the charity's own values, its reputation. They need to look at the obviously the performance, the policies and practices that the agency may have. How it handles data is important.
Right.
How it deals with people who may be in vulnerable circumstances. So what we would say is it's important to actually look at who you're partnering with and ensure that there are proper measures in place or contractual terms that actually look after that. So it's really important that charities remember that fundraising is often the main interaction that a charity may have with the public, and it does impact not just on individual organisations. If it's done badly, it impacts on charities more generally. And as I said before, the public's unlikely to understand or make a distinction between the actions of a third-party provider and the charity itself. So it's crucial for the charity's reputation. And reputations can be a fragile thing, and so boards need to protect that. So we're saying absolutely fine to use fundraising agencies. We're not saying that that is inappropriate. It's really about what's right for your charity and you being able to explain to donors and to your supporters why you've made decisions to spend money in a particular way. But that charities can outsource fundraising activities, but you can't outsource your responsibilities or your reputation. So that's the one of the key aspects we would say.
And it's something that boards really need to think about too. It's not just something for the operational staff to consider later on. It's something for the board to really be across and know the ins and outs of what's going on in the name of their charity.
I think also, you know, boards need to be realistic when they're setting fundraising targets.
Right, yeah.
If you set a target that is very hard to achieve or is unrealistic,
yep,
then you may be driving certain behaviour. Often with targets, people will do their very best to meet those targets. But the last thing you want to do is inadvertently be driving corner cutting or poor practice, really. And I think also if you are looking at entering into contracts with third-party providers, then, you know, how much are you paying per transaction? Yep. How reasonable is that? And what are you getting for that? What training are the fundraisers or third-party fundraisers getting? What checks and balances are in place? So these are all important things. And we know that the public are very sensitive to fundraising costs as well. So I'm saying it's fine to go ahead and use third-party fundraising providers or to undertake fundraising, and that is absolutely the case. But it needs to be reasonable and proportionate, and they need to be proper decisions that you're happy to explain to your funders and to the community. If you're in a situation where you're struggling to actually defend decisions that have been made about how you spent money, including on fundraising, then you really should be questioning why are you uncomfortable to do that.
Yeah, right.
Have you made the right decision here? Because at the end of the day, what we're dealing with is not our own money. We're dealing with money that's being given for this purpose and for the benefit of the public.
And you don't want to damage your standing in the community in doing so, particularly when that's the community you're trying to help.
That's right. But I think there is a good news story here. You know, the public in Australia are incredibly generous. People give money. We talk a lot about America and philanthropic giving in America, but if you look at ordinary Australians, they're incredibly generous. People will give very generously to natural disasters, but also to charities working in their community and working nationally and internationally. So there's a high degree of confidence and support in the sector. The latest figures that we have, Matt, show donations and bequests of $11.2 billion
staggering amount.
In 2015. Yeah. So we want that to continue and to grow. And in order to do so, we need to ensure that charities are really following good practice in this area and that where they're using third-party providers, they're using good agencies who are operating properly.
I think that's a really good point to end on, a good news story. Thanks very much for your time today, David. You've done a really good job of explaining the use of fundraising agencies for charities, and I think opened up a lot of people's eyes about this topic who may not have thought about it too deeply before. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Matt.
Check out other episodes of Charity Chat and other free resources, including guides, fact sheets, and webinars on our website at acnc.gov.au. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you happen to access it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.